It is my favorite time of the week, but maybe that's because I don't have a social life. I don't know. Kane, hello and welcome to Tech Plus. Also, hello to our listeners. How's it going?
You can't have a social life with all this tech news going on. You have to be glued to your screen to keep track of all the moving items.
Exactly. Yet I still can't get an Uber. They're always busy. Maybe they don't like me. I don't know if they can see on the profile and then like, no, we're busy.
Well, you know, yeah, I'm doing well, eh? And it's been a big amount of updates and stuff that's happened over the last week in terms of tech. I mean, we have some really exciting stories to go over today, but I think the one that we should start with is you'll never guess who's made a new smartwatch. You'll never guess.
A new smartwatch.
A new smartwatch. And it's company. Cheap, below 600 rand.
Pep.
That would have been a really good guess. Like, I always would have believed you, but not Pep.
Or AC Kerman's.
Ah.
No.
Vodacom.
Oh, okay.
Has released its new linear watch, which offers emergency help when you need it. And it costs a whopping 500 rand for this smartwatch.
That's cool. What can it do?
I mean, smartwatches are pretty expensive. If you look at, you know, an Apple smartwatch or Sam, you're going to pay anywhere from 1,500 for a cheapo all the way up to, you know, 5,500 for, you know, an expensive one, and then upwards of 5,500 if you're buying something like a Garmin smartwatch.
Can you talk into it like Michael Knight on Knight Rider?
Well, the interesting thing is they've really picked a niche. They've picked a niche for this watch. So Vodacom has just announced its new affordable wearable, the Linear Watch. It's aimed at those that need a discreet way to let a few contacts know they need help.
Okay.
The Linear Watch is fairly basic as far as wearable tech goes. But for the 500 rand once-off price, don't expect much in the way of extra features. Battery life is expected to last anywhere from 48 to 72 hours, depending on your use. That's the only real disappointing thing that I heard about the watch, because if it's an emergency-based watch that works for 3 days and then needs a recharge. But let's get into what it does, right? So connectivity is limited to the included Vodacom smart SIM. So you won't be able to pair it via Bluetooth, but it does mean you won't need an additional SIM. Its IP65 rating means it's also splash-proof. Those are all the additional features you're getting with this one, but then the Linear isn't aimed at replacing your Apple or Samsung watch. The main focus is actually safety for the wearer.
Mm.
So basically their pitch is help is a button press away. So Vodacom remains steadfast in using technology to empower those who cannot speak for themselves, which they detailed in a press release. From a senior citizen who falls down a set of stairs and cannot reach their mobile device to call emergency services, to a victim of gender-based violence in potential danger. For that, there's a panic button on the side that, when pressed, will send an emergency SMS to up to 5 pre-selected contacts. That message will include the time, date, and a GPS location link that'll stay live for 30 minutes.
Mm,
how cool is
that's
that?
That's very good.
It's good. You need that.
Yeah.
We don't have wearable tech to signal an emergency.
No.
I even don't know, because remember sometimes on my phone, and I did it more by mistake than intentionally. I think it's actually a good thing. But usually if you press your phone in a certain way, or like press the power button
or shake it,
or do something unique, an emergency SOS call happens.
Yeah, I did that once per accident. By mistake.
By accident. And it's like, I don't know where
I shaked my phone and I alerted everybody that I was kidnapped.
Really?
Yeah.
Did everyone get a message? Like, what happened?
Yeah, help me, I'm being kidnapped.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Like that exact word?
Yes.
Like,
I have a few presets, you know.
So it works.
Yes, but the worrying thing is nobody responded.
Help me, flipping Eon with these spam messages again. Can't stand this guy. It's the fifth time this
exactly.
week. Exactly. there's a social issue there.
Yes, it's very worrying.
Deeper lying issue.
Yeah.
But I, for one, didn't know how it works, or even how I've never actually set up that emergency service thing. But there is an attraction for me for a smartwatch that if you're in a dire situation, and it is also dire situations, you know, come in various shapes and sizes. As they said, you know, it could be an elderly person who got out of bed one night to go to the bathroom and just fell down, can't get up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that actually happened to a friend of mine the other day, and you know, the rest of the night she was crawling around the floor.
Oh no.
You know, and it's not a good place to be.
Mm-mm.
And you need something like that.
Yeah.
Where you can just signal an emergency that there's a disaster. And then on the other side, you know, if you're in a potentially dangerous situation, or you get confronted or cornered on a street or something like that, you can't just whip out your phone and start calling, you know, 10-1-1.
No, they'll steal it, yeah.
No, and it's going to take a long time for help to come. So to discreetly signal for help and provide your 5 most trusted people with a live location to where you are and where you're going. Remember, if you're kidnapped, it's a live location. So if it's really a dire situation as a kidnapping scenario, at least there's a live location for where you are.
Yo, I just want to say well done, Vodacom. That's fantastic. But I have one question.
Yes.
What if you're out of range and there's no cell phone signal? What if you're in the middle of nowhere, literally? Like, is it going to work?
No cell. Well, I don't think miracles are possible. You know?
I wonder if it works on. Does it actually work on the Vodacom network? So you need Vodacom coverage.
Yeah. Well, I think it's all networks, but it's a Vodacom specific SIM. So I don't think you can just put.
But what if there's no network?
No network coverage. Yeah. Then
is that the end?
It's like needing help but screaming it in the middle of the ocean kind
of thing. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
You're not,
yeah.
Don't go out of cell reception in the first place.
You never know, eh? There are some dead spots around South Africa.
So
they need to look
well, if you are gonna run away, I think the time is now to run away from the kidnappers and try to find just hit that emergency button.
But I like it. Wow, and it's wow, Kane. And aesthetically, is it pleasing?
I haven't seen a picture of the watch yet. I do see this picture. It looks very similar to just a normal smartwatch.
Nice. And
it doesn't look cheap. Like, if it's under the 500 rand category,
you know,
you would expect, like, you know, those watches for children that you turn them upside down and you like get the hoops over the screen. That's what I expect.
Like
a 500 rand smartwatch.
Yeah, same here. Or it'll just fall off your arm or something.
But
okay.
Very, very, very innovative from Vodacom.
Wow.
And I think it's really needed in more rural urban.
Let's give them an applause.
Absolutely. You know, you got to give them a round of applause there. They did well. And I especially see application in more rural areas. In locations and
but
things.
But it's affordable,
like that.
So that's nice. I like that.
But give your child a last call for help, you know, for 500 rand once off.
I would put that on my child, because at the rate that kids are disappearing nowadays, stuff that's going on in the world.
When a child's born, you sign the birth certificate and buy a 500 rand Vodacom smartwatch, and you put it on the infant.
Exactly.
Teach them how to use it.
But that's so nice. I think it's a brilliant initiative.
I wasn't
expecting that price. Mm-mm. I was thinking it would be way more.
No, and it's clearly not targeted to the ultra wealthy.
Not at all.
500 rand is, by definition, affordable to most
people. Yeah, but they've got their own stuff. They've got built-in chips and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But people can find them that way.
So, next item on our list, Elon Musk making moves in tech.
Now, Kane, remember when that news broke this week, I immediately sent you a message.
Yes.
I said to you, hey, Elon purchased, 9.2% in
Twitter.
And I said to you, what an interesting move, because we just, in the previous episode of Tech Plus, we spoke about his desire to start his own social network. And I said to you, why on earth would he then buy 9.2% of Twitter? And then what did you say?
So I think he was definitely considering creating his own social media platform, but based on the results of previous social media I've been a part of teams that were building new social media platforms. It's a very difficult thing to get out there, especially when you're starting from scratch.
Yeah.
So I think in Elon Musk's mind, he was either going to start his own social media platform and going to have to be responsible for aggregating millions of users to join the platform. And what that is unique and possible in tech today can be produced to make people actually use that over something like Twitter. And I think the reasoning that he ultimately fell upon is, if you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
And he now is the largest shareholder in Twitter above Jack Dorsey and everyone else. He's a large stakeholder in Twitter. And we'll talk about what is the nature of that deal specifically within that 9.2%, because one does not nearly buy $2.9 billion worth of shares in a company without some prerequisites having to be filled in.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, obviously he's going to be on the board now, and
yes.
I think that's until 2024, and then they will decide again. But I'm wondering, what is the true intention here?
So, Twitter CEO Parag tweeted that he, along with the other board members, would be joined by Musk on the board of directors. So we guess that answers our how will the world's most popular microblogging platform change question. The original story is Twitter's biggest critic, Elon Musk, is now the largest single shareholder of the company. According to a regulatory filing, Elon Musk now owns 9.2% of Twitter stock. That's 73,486,000 shares, almost four times as much as ex-CEO and co-founder Jack Dorsey. And it cost him about $2.89 billion to purchase those shares, and that was based on Twitter's recent stock prices. Soon after the stock purchase went public, Twitter shares shot up 25%, with Tesla stock rising ever so slightly too. It's amazing the power of a billionaire, a tech mongrel, you know, like an absolute unit of an influencer. Comes in, buys some Twitter shares and shoots the price of Twitter up 25%. Now, not every day someone goes in buying 9.2% of a publicly owned company, but when you do go and do something like that and shove 10% of the liquidity into a stock, it's going to shoot up in price. People hear Elon Musk is joining in, they're going to go invest, even if they don't believe in him. I mean, it's a core decision. Either he makes it better or he makes it worse, people are going to buy stock to capitalize on that. So it was only last week when Elon Musk was sharing his ideas for an entirely new social media platform altogether. And now the question is, how will the world's most popular microblogging platform change? So what happens when the world's most eccentric billionaire has a say in one of the largest social media platforms ever? At the moment, not much, but this may not always be the case. For the time being, Elon Musk's 9% control is only meant to be passive. When Musk filed the necessary paperwork to perform the buy, he had a choice to make. Either stay passive by filing a 13G form, which is an American financial thing, meaning that he would have little to no say about how the company may run for the time being. But buyers vying for a stronger hand within the company must file the SEC's 13D form or ditto form within 10 days after the sale is approved. So he filed a 13G form, which allows him a passive say in Twitter, not a major say. So he can't push decisions or push people out, force them to sell other shares, you know, try and do a takeover. It doesn't allow him to do that.
I was wondering about that because he's got issues with freedom of speech.
Yes, and the SEC is looking into him for his previous stuff as well.
So I was wondering if he's not pushing that.
Yeah, he's got his hands full. But for now, he's filled in the 13G form, which is the passive ownership of the shares. But if he does happen to file the 13D form within 10 days after the sale was approved, which is fast approaching now, then he will have a more aggressive say in the company. So Musk chose the passive route, but when has Elon Musk been passive? You know, he's not just going to lie there.
Exactly.
So we have some expert opinions to take a look at for what other people think is going to happen here. So Wedbush analyst and MD Dan Ives, speaking to Yahoo Finance, said this is just the appetizer. Ultimately, we believe he will have an active stake over the coming weeks or months. This is just a start. He also went on to say that he thinks he will have a broader strategic focus on Twitter, whether it's changing the slate, changing the management team, or ultimately a buyout. And then another guy, Jill Fish, also went on to say the idea that Elon Musk falls within a passive category is probably a stretch. He's not the most passive guy. Jill Fish is a securities law professor at the University of Pennsylvania. One has to ask the question, he went on to say, is Elon Musk really going to be happy with a stake of this size and remaining passive? Fish also noted that Musk's stake is definitely liable to change. Filing a 13G still allows room for investors to change their minds as opposed to the more official 13D. There isn't much time for him to make alterations, even if Musk sorts out his paperwork. Twitter's annual meeting takes place on May 25th, which is not much time after a company to change a company's direction or alter a company's direction, even if you're in a position to do so. And they also went on to say he's not trying to get board seats, take over the board, or push the company to sell itself, says Eliza Klein, a partner at law firm Schwartz, Roth & Zabel. He's not trying to be an activist shareholder. But you can be influential without being an activist. He can certainly talk to the company and say, I'm concerned about crypto as a shareholder. I want you to know my views. If that is the case, it means that soon Musk may have much more control over Twitter than we originally thought. Elon Musk also went on to post a poll on the 5th of April.
I remember.
And he said, do you want a new button? Yes or no? But look, I don't know if he did it on purpose or if it's an ongoing joke or he was rushed. But look at the options, yes and no. What do you notice about those two words there?
Yes on.
Yeah, so...
So you don't have a choice.
Instead of saying yes or no, he mixed it up. So instead of it being Y-E-S for yes, it says Y-S-E. And instead of it being no, it says O-N. So it's like he speed made this poll.
Yeah. Almost,
I don't know why he misspelt it. It doesn't make sense.
I think he's just being on purpose. But I mean, let's be honest. He's Elon Musk. He can do anything.
Exactly. So that's what happened there.
That's very interesting. We'll talk about it some more. But I also, I've got some news on Trump Social.
Oh, my word.
And
what
he's,
happened?
I'm
almost scared to hear this.
He's ranking on the billionaires list.
Okay.
How it's impacted him.
Is that after the break?
Yes.
Okay.
So Kane just had a very interesting story while the song was playing by Will Lindley called Wrong Time. It's new on the playlist. Kane, you said you watched him blow up on social media from like 10 views to... superstar.
Yeah, at one point I was browsing around TikTok. Obviously TikTok has a priority for, if you're in South Africa, you're going to see South African content.
Yep.
Whether it's gone viral yet or going viral, you might be part of the test to see if this will work well with other users, or you might be seeing it after other users have already engaged well with the content. So I was browsing around TikTok and I came across one of his campaigns, and he was literally, you know, south of maybe 10 views on each video. And then I happened to enter into a, you know, public area where radio was playing, and boom, there is his song playing, you know, a month or two later.
So how do you do that, Kane?
How do you do it?
Yes.
Magic.
How does it happen that, you know, they always say, oh, you got famous overnight, but it's not true. There is work going on behind the scenes.
There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes, but ultimately I think if you market yourself to people and people like what they see, you know, radio wants to play things that people like. So if you manage to create virality in a song and create a trend, people know you, the radio stations want to play you, labels want to work with you. It's just,
but TikTok seems to be a nice start off point nowadays, because everybody's on TikTok. There's a lot of songs that were made famous on TikTok and then went to radio.
Yes.
So I think that's a nice platform, because people use your song and mime to it or make videos to it, and then people are like, oh, what's that song? And then it blows up.
And just by using that video, you can get more, just by using that sound, you can get more views.
I saw that. Is that true?
That is true.
So noted.
Is it a viral song on TikTok and you use the sound, even if it's on 1% volume, so you don't actually hear the sound, you will stand a greater chance of getting more views than without
you the sound. You shouldn't tell me this now, eh?
No, I want to see your TikTok blow up. I want to hear on radio.
You shouldn't tell me this now, because now I'm really going to push my TikTok career to start.
Do it. You can't go wrong, man. You can't go wrong.
Even if it's at 1%, you say.
Yeah, no, you
could. It's almost like an override of the algorithm, isn't it?
It is.
A bit of
it's
a
like
favor.
Cheat sheet.
Yes.
Because sometimes you can't actually portray the video without having the sound from the actual video. Like if you have overlapping sound, it could be distracting and end up doing more damage than good to the overall viewer experience.
Yeah.
So just by using a sound and putting it on low volume, you can still get away with potentially. But the most important thing about TikTok is it's first shown to, you know, 10 to 100 people. And based on how they react to it, it might be shown to more. If they react badly or other videos react better, they're not going to continue to display that video. So it really comes down to what the first 10 people do on your video.
Wow. But do you remember when YouTube was easier? You know, the good days of YouTube, where the YouTubers were bloody rich and it was just so easy to get on the homepage and be famous.
Yeah.
Would you say TikTok is in that stage now, and that it will become increasingly difficult to get fame on TikTok?
It is already becoming more and more difficult, but it is still easier than YouTube.
Okay.
So that's the bottom line.
Okay, so if you want to be a star, act now.
Exactly.
Noted. Anyway, did you see Donald Trump's net worth has risen by about $600 million since last year? This is according to the new Forbes' billionaires list. Forbes estimates that Trump's new social media app, Truth Social, actually boosted his wealth by $430 million. $8. He jumped nearly 300 spots.
I would like some of that.
But they also said that, you know, downloads decreased on his app. There was this massive spike in people downloading it. And it looks like Trump's not even really active on his own social network. It's only posted once.
Really?
Yeah. So what is his plan there, I wonder?
Ah, he just saw Elon Musk buy 9.2% shares of Twitter. And he's like, that's a good idea. I'm just going to close my app. I'm just going to give up at this point.
I'm just wondering if he was trying to prove a point, just to say up yours, Twitter, or I don't know.
I think he wanted to maybe make a statement. I don't think he doesn't seem like a guy who's dedicated his life to creating a social media network. I think Zuckerberg fits that category, but I don't think Trump does. I think he has more important things to do.
But what's worrying is Trump has done little to promote the app. They say since it launched in February, he's only posted on the site once and has less than 1% of the number of followers on his app than he had on Twitter. So to me right now, it sounds like things are not working very well.
I think it looks very good, but it's working very badly.
Maybe it's the calm before the storm, eh?
It could be, but why, you know, and I was thinking about it today, why on earth would you want to sign up on Truth Social? Not that it is a bad social media site, but the same as why would you want to sign up on another social media platform?
Have you been on it?
I have looked at it, but I've never signed up.
I wonder what it's like layout-wise. Is it a bit of a Twitter, or does it look more like Facebook? I should go and check, actually.
Well, I think the overall sentiment still remains the same, that there is no need to be on a fifth or a sixth or a tenth social media platform unless you're a content creator.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're also consuming content, you know, why would you go onto a different social media app? And I think that's the ultimate problem. And even why Elon Musk decided not to create another social media app.
Yeah.
Because a user only has so much time. And a social media app wants you to give the most amount of free time that you have to that app.
It's like a Tamagotchi.
And now you have 10 different apps all trying to get that little bit of free time that you have. And what happens? All apps get less time of yours. All apps perform worse. So I don't think creating a social media platform is the next level. I think the next level is going to be a social media platform that you visit and your feed has Instagram, Twitter,
Facebook, all combined.
LinkedIn,
very
Reddit,
nice.
All in your feed.
Why does that not exist yet?
It will one day, but there's a lot of identity and intellectual property rights and things that you have to navigate. But ultimately, that's what would you use it? Yes, I would use
it. Yeah, because it's all merged.
I would.
Yeah.
I would use it. I would prefer that
save time as well, yeah,
to be tailored to me. And I see everything happening on every social media platform than me going on my feed. And your feed is engineered, meaning you have to follow and like stuff that you are interested in order to have a very good quality feed.
Yeah.
So instead of setting up 5 feeds on 5 social media platforms to spend 10% of the available time that I have on each social media platform, just give me one. I can spend 50% of my free time on one and see everything from all. That's going to be the kind of technology that disrupts. And if Trump did that, or Trump did, or Elon Musk did that, that would be greater. But ultimately, I think Elon Musk's play into social media outweighs Trump's play into social media. Trump has a social media platform that he owns that is being built and could take 5 to 10 years to get popular.
Mm.
And Elon Musk has 10%, is the largest shareholder in Twitter, that probably will have more people's on it than Trump's app. Because I already feel like Trump's app is more of an American app.
Yeah.
And Twitter is more of an international app.
Yeah.
So what that means is Twitter will possibly always have more users than Trump's. So the question, Elon Musk wins. If you compare the two, he wins, because he just got the most shares in a company with some of the most users in the world, and he did it in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would rather watch Elon Musk and keep an eye on him than Trump.
Exactly.
See what he's doing. He's always doing something for a good reason.
And don't forget, it's an undercut as well, because Trump got the spotlight. Right, Trump got the spotlight. People are like, Trump's making a social media app. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now Elon Musk does it. When you're talking about social media, you talk about Elon Musk's app or Trump's? Elon Musk. So now everyone's on Elon Musk. No one's thinking about Trump's social media app anymore. Everyone's got their eyes on Twitter. If it's a chess match, that's like checkmate.
You know, yeah, yeah.
That's a very good move by Musk.
Exactly.
If they were competing, which I don't know if they are, but that's
maybe low-key they are.
You know? These guys are not silly.
Listen,
know?
I just mentioned Tamagotchis. Do you remember it?
A Tamagotchi is the little device that you have to feed and sustain.
Yeah, that's like to teach your children responsibility if they don't have a pet already. Remember, and then you got to give it food, and children would actually take it to school to make sure it doesn't die. Because if it's like levels, and if it dies, then you have to start all over again.
Could Tamagotchi, what, how do you say it?
Tamagotchi, I don't know.
Could a Tamagotchi have an application in the NFT industry? It's a tech show, so we got to ask that question. That's an interesting question. And on that note of NFTs and Twitter, it's the perfect combination. The NFT of Jack Dorsey's first tweet has now gone back on sale. It's currently listed at $48 million.
Oh dear.
The NFT of Jack Dorsey, who was the founder of Twitter.
So then you can say, tweets. I've got that. I own this man's first tweet, right?
Absolutely. I own the digital rights to proof of this man's first tweet on one of the biggest social media platforms.
Wow.
So a digital copy of the first ever tweet by Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey has been offered for about almost $48 million or 705 million rand on non-fungible token marketplace OpenSea, which is 16 times what the owner paid for it a year ago. Sunny Estavi, the CEO of Malaysian blockchain service Bridge Oracle, announced on Twitter that he just put the NFT version of the 21 March 2006 tweet saying, just setting up my Twitter with, instead of T-W-I-T-T-E-R, it's T-W-T-T-R, up for sale for 14,969 Ether. He paid $2.9 million for it in March last year. After his initial tweets announcing the sale, Estavi followed up with another promise to donate 50% of the proceeds to the charity Give Directly, which gives cash to people living in poverty, and which Dorsey said he'd supported after the first sale of the NFT. But here's where it gets interesting. So Dorsey comes out with it. So what Estavi is saying is that if it sells for $48 million, 50% of that money will go to Give Directly, the charity. Now, that's 16 times its original selling price. So he still makes 8x profit if that NFT goes on sale and sells, and the rest of the money goes to charity. So it's almost like an incentive for someone to buy it. But Dorsey got a little bit offended and went onto Twitter and said, why not 99% of it?
Yeah.
Why 50% of it? If it really is for a charity, why not 99% of it? He directed his response to Estavi, Give Directly, and Tesla founder and recent Twitter board member Elon Musk. Twitter's stock rallied 27% on Monday after the news broke out about Musk taking a 9.2% stake in the company. So Jack Dorsey saying, you know, if you're going to sell my first, the digital copy of my first tweet, why not make it 99% to charity? Which is like, I think it breaks the value of the NFT slightly. I think the campaign to have that NFT sell was hindered by that particular post from Jack Dorsey, but he still has a fair point. Why should you give 50% to charity and take 8x profit when you could take 2x profit and give 90% to charity?
Jeez, but Kane, this NFT thing's really picking up now, eh?
Oh, we're just getting started.
If you look at the frequency of how it appears on our lineup, even in the show, how it just gets more and more. You can see it's getting more intense.
It is, and it will continue to, because this is digital ownership. It has never before been possible to acquire a digital proof of ownership of something. Yes, we have license keys, and that is somewhat a proof of digital ownership. If you own like Microsoft Office or Windows 10, you have your license key. That's a form of digital ownership.
You're right.
But if I take a selfie of myself at a Justin Bieber concert and sell it as an NFT, and that Justin Bieber concert is the last Justin Bieber concert to ever happen in the world, I now have a proof of digital ownership of a picture of the last concert of Justin Bieber, and my face is in it. That has value. It's authenticatable. And NFTs are creating value for things that were valueless before. I've been playing a game, an NFT game called Gods Unchained. Super simple game, just a card-based game like Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Magic. And every card is an NFT. Now, when you would just traditionally be playing a digital game where you have cards in the game that have no value, it's just the quality of your gameplay experience, you now have cards that are selling for $1,000, $50,000, $150,000. These people, some people in Axie Infinity, which we'll talk about now, Axie Infinity got hacked, but 40% of their 2.2 million players are from the Philippines. And all of them where they're making money are living off of that money. They're making their ends meet off of playing a digital card game online that uses NFTs.
Life goals.
How crazy.
That sounds so nice. No more going to work. No more 9 to 5. Just play games, man.
I can't talk right now. I'm just in a game.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Gotta make my money.
It's the future. So we'll talk about that when we come back. And also, have you used Checkers 6060?
No, but I know you have.
Yes, and my broadband actually tested their claim this week, where they claimed that it is cheaper to use them than to drive to the shop yourself to go and buy the groceries. Is it true? Brand new music there by Harry Styles. It's called As It Was. Welcome back to the final part of this week's Tech Plus. It's nice to be with you. And we are, of course, talking about this week's biggest tech stories. And a lot of them is follow-ups as well. Kane, winter, hey? I wanted to say at the beginning of the show, are you also feeling that winter's pretty much here?
It always happens overnight.
It's like a switch. Somebody said to me, it's like a switch.
Yeah.
It's not a gradual thing. It's just like one day you're sweating and the next day you're getting your blankets out.
They're frozen.
And then I see there's snow this weekend, mainly inland, but...
like Oudtshoorn inside.
No, even more.
Cape Town side.
No, even up.
Joburg side.
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Free State. Gauteng, Free State Eastern area. Cape, yeah. The closest will be the Eastern Cape, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we'll feel it, but it will be the first snow of 2022. They're keeping a close eye on it because people
really
want to go and watch and see snow.
Yeah.
But it's usually around the Easter time, man. I mean, Easter's just around the corner, so it's actually on time.
Yeah, I was so excited for snow the first time I saw snow, and then I realized snow is just very cold. And
like, it is.
It's not like...
But it's nice to play with.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
When you think about snow and you've never been in snow, you kind of think it's like some sort of tiny like polystyrene substrate, you
that's
know?
What they do in the movies,
yeah.
But listen, now with winter and everything, you know, you don't want to go out and buy groceries. I mean, the main reason why we started doing this deliveries of shopping and takeaways to our homes was mainly because of COVID.
Yes.
We didn't want to go out and be exposed to the virus. Now people are getting over it. Masks are coming off outdoors, which is nice.
Fantastic,
just indoors.
Yes.
And people are just, I don't know about you, but whenever you talk to somebody, they are just, there's only one word to describe it, and that's gutful. They have had it with this virus. It is, they don't even care if they get it anymore. It's just, please, let's just get back and get on with it and carry on with our lives.
Yeah.
Because really, we are tired of these restrictions and things and lockdowns, you know?
Yeah, and I think my condolences to all the people that obviously passed from the virus.
Of course, yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't what it was advertised as, or what it was talked about as, isn't what has happened over the last 2 years. You know, we were talking about, you know, 1.5 million deaths or 10 million deaths in South Africa and how that could affect the population and all this kind of stuff. And we're not at that, we're not in that severity anymore.
I mean, no.
People aren't rushing for toilet paper. People, you know, people have got hit by COVID and survived. We got the vaccines out
yeah.
now. I don't know what the throughput is in terms of how, like, because let's think about it. At first, when COVID first came out, they said you have to have a mask. No, first they said you should get a mask, but then they said masks aren't actually needed because all the people were buying the masks from the doctors. So then they didn't want you to go buy your masks anymore. They said you don't actually need a mask. Then they realized, oh, COVID's pretty bad. You do actually need masks. And the masks that you need are N95 because the virus is so small that you need a right filtration method to capture that virus. And now you got people walking around stores with basically a cotton scarf that is the mask.
Even before the mask, do you remember what the people when it just came out, people made their own stuff to protect themselves. They were walking around with juice boxes and glass containers over their heads and stuff, just as long as they could see where they were going, you know.
And I think especially when you like you get all these fabric masks and things like that, and when you're in a situation where people aren't, where the masks people aren't actually filtering out the virus if you were to come into contact with it, what's the point in wearing the mask? Every single person should have to wear an N95 mask to be, if that is the case, that the virus is so small that you need a proper filtration system. People should only be allowed to wear an N95 mask. If you don't have an N95 mask, you can't leave the house. But if you're allowed to wear, like, I have had literally, like, scarves. Like, it could be a woolen mask, you know, with big holes in it. There's no difference with breathing with it on or off. And that's fine, you know, like, that doesn't make sense.
Is that what you were wearing before the masks?
No.
Or were you also going in glass containers and stuff? They look like aliens.
No, and the shield, the windscreen.
I laugh when I see people wearing that. It looks ridiculous. You know? I'm like, where's your wipers?
I was waiting for the first one to come on with wipers.
Because you get steam. You need wipers with that.
Demist, you know, the aircon. Cleans the screen.
But I'm so glad that we can laugh about it now. And, you know, finally coming out of the state of disaster this week as well with our president, you know, obviously we're still being cautious and we are expecting the fifth wave at some stage, which I don't think will be very severe because we've built up some immunity and we had our vaccines, you know, and all that stuff. But we got so sidetracked here because we what I was saying is people obviously ordered their shopping as well. So basically you go onto this app and you order. You can see pictures of what you want to order. You can select the quantity and then you pay with your credit card or whatever, your bank card. And then they deliver it right to your door. All you need to do is open the packets and unpack it, you know.
Yeah.
Which is very, very convenient. It actually made us very lazy, I think. We don't want to go to shops anymore, but I'm not too fond of shopping anyway, so it's fine for me. But anyway, so Checkers, with their 60-60 service, they claimed that it was cheaper to use them instead of actually going out and driving to the shops.
Yes.
Now, I don't know about it here in our garden route towns, but in cities, most definitely, because look at all the traffic you have to fight through to get to the shops.
I think that, yes, and also if you are in a scenario where you're saving petrol because you're not going directly to Checkers, you're going to a Superette or something like that, or a mini Superette,
yes,
you pay more for each item that you purchase.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're sacrificing time.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, so my broadband revealed that it is indeed cheaper to use Checkers 6060 with the e-commerce service than driving to the shop yourself to buy groceries.
Groberies.
What is groberies? Sounds like a new berry. But anyway, so Checkers claimed that the petrol price hike means it's cheaper to have groceries delivered than paying for travel costs to one of its stores. According to Checkers, the average 6060 customer saves 33% on petrol and vehicle running costs by shopping via the app and then paying the 35 rand delivery fee. So it has been proven it is, in fact, cheaper.
Good.
To order your groceries.
And 33, I mean, the petrol price going up is only working in their favor at this point.
No,
it would be working in their favor.
Yeah, would it? Because they...
It's costing them more to run.
I was going to say, what are they running their bikes on? Because they use these little scooters. Well, they're not very heavy on fuel.
No, they're not. No, they're very fuel efficient. I mean, compared to like a 2-liter, you know, turbocharged engine, I mean, or with fuel injection, you're like, blah. You know, that's, you can't compare it.
But it would be nice if they can have electric scooters.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So did you know Vivo, who manages the YouTube accounts for feeds like Lil Nas, Justin Bieber?
Yeah, you always see like Justin Bieber Vivo.
Yes.
That's like the official account.
Yes.
For new tunes.
On Tuesday morning, YouTube channels for some of the world's biggest stars showed fans with strange music videos. Vivo channels for artists like Lil Nas, Eminem, Drake, Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande, Harry Styles, The Weeknd, Michael Jackson, Kanye West, and many others were affected. The channels in question have subscriber counts that adds up to millions, hundreds of millions, in fact. Before the videos disappeared, viewers saw bizarre clips of Paco Sanz, a Spanish con man sentenced to 2 years in jail after being convicted of fraud for lying about having terminal cancer, and rapper Lil TJ. YouTube did not respond to requests for comment from The Verge. However, Vivo, which bills itself as the world's leading music video network, did acknowledge the incident. A spokesperson responded to contact via Vivo's public press information and requested not to be named, citing the nature of the incident. They said in a statement that some videos were directly uploaded to a number of Vivo artist channels earlier today by an unauthorized source. So basically, Eminem, Lil Nas, Drake, Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande, Harry Styles, the whole lot had YouTube videos going live to their YouTube channels that had to do about some scam artist, Paco Sanz.
Who did it? And how?
And how and why?
Must have been an inside job, eh?
It must be, but...
Somebody got a password somewhere.
It's not like they just got into the YouTube channels. Vivo sends content to be uploaded to those video channels.
Yeah.
So they infiltrated Vivo's system that automatically publishes that content.
And what did this scam guy gain from it, besides popularity and ticking people off?
Well, that's just the thing. It was not a direct call to action to anything.
And it wasn't online for long, was it?
Yeah, a proof of power. Usually you would see something like this in a demonstration to some high-level dark net kind of figures to show that how powerful whatever you're trying to sell them is. So it seems more like a proof of work incident than an actual malicious attack. Yes, there's malicious in the attack because YouTubers' accounts and famous people had their identity breached, and that's one thing, but there was no monetary gain on the other side of it, which must mean a proof of work scenario.
Yeah.
To prove, you know, the ability to infiltrate a system, or someone is very, very, you know, not happy with Vivo's network.
Could be.
And it's just a malicious act on their network. Or a competitor maliciously acting on Vivo's network.
Who would Vivo's competitor be, by?
A lot of people just want to do things like Vivo. You know, Vivo, you see a YouTube video and it says Vivo on it and you're more inclined to watch it.
Yeah, you know? But sometimes you see it's Vivo and then it's not even official and they actually just pretend to be Vivo.
Yeah, that's true as well. But you know Ford, right?
Oh, yeah.
And if you never want, like, it always is interesting to me, especially if you're you know, in traffic. You're coming up to a robot and there's an ambulance, you know, with its sirens on, and you have to give right of way to the ambulance, but then there's a red robot. They can proceed through the red robot, but it's still pretty risky.
They imagine an ambulance in an accident.
You imagine an ambulance
and then another
going,
one coming.
Yeah, imagine an ambulance going one way across the intersection and another ambulance going another way. Everyone's giving them right of way to end in a collision. So Ford is testing out smart traffic light tech to help emergency services.
Nice.
This is in Detroit. So Ford has started tests on connected traffic light technology to help clear paths for emergency services. The company has been trialing the new road control system, which can automatically turn traffic lights green for incoming ambulances, fire engines, and police vehicles. The smart system is being set up in a bid to clear the road for situations where traffic impedes the response of emergency services. The second system, or the new system, could potentially also send timing information of the red and green lights to other automobiles in order to improve the flow of incoming traffic at times like rush hour. Martin Sommer, who's the research engineer at the Automated Driving Europe Ford of Europe, said, "Whether it's a fire engine attending a blaze or an ambulance that is en route to an accident, the last thing anyone wants is for these drivers to be caught up among other vehicles waiting for the lights to change. The trial, which was part of a broader project to help improve congestion, tested automated and connected vehicles as well as networked infrastructure in highway and rural areas. Ford are committed to using connectivity and innovation to help improve the driving experience of the roads. The test, which was carried out outside the city of Aachen, Germany, used a road with 8 consecutive traffic lights as well as 2 stretches with 3 consecutive traffic lights to test this product out," which I think is very necessary. I mean, I've always thought about that. You know, the quality of an emergency response is directly proportionate to the ease at which that service can be delivered to the end area, you know, to the end location.
Time is of the essence. It's a life. You know, you can literally save a person's life by arriving 1 minute earlier.
Yeah, and you could put out a potentially enormous fire if you get to it at the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
And put an end to it.
Yeah.
You know, like a fire breaking out at Gas Jack, you know, like a gas subsidiary.
Oof, yeah.
You got to be there before the fire has even started.
Yeah, when there's just a bit of smoke.
Yeah, you gotta be quick. So that's really cool to see that
very
happening.
Cool.
And speaking of some of the old generation moving on to TikTok, the Biden Group has launched an interesting campaign to target the younger youth. So the Biden Group launches a TikTok account to boost the president's agenda. Biden World is embracing the app as midterms heat up. The Biden-affiliated nonprofit group Building Back Together plans to launch its own TikTok account on Wednesday as part of the group's latest effort to engage young people with the president's agenda ahead of the 2022 midterm elections. The group's account, at Building Back Together, plans to create content inspired by TikTok trends and features like the green screen function to explain President Joe Biden's agenda to the platform's predominantly younger user base. The organization's staff will frequently appear on the account, along with news clips and audios featuring the president. By launching a TikTok account, we're building off that work with the goal of reaching the large and growing user base of this platform, including young people who disproportionately use TikTok. A Building Back Together spokesperson told The Verge on Tuesday, "We want to make sure TikTok users are seeing information about the positive impacts of the president's agenda, and we'll be doing that by producing original content tailored to the platform." Now, as much as I wouldn't really care to see, you know, Ramaphosa's TikTok feed, I think it's still a very important effort to actually engage with the young audience. Because even for me, my biggest problem, especially when casting a vote for the next government and things like mm-hmm. that, I don't know what's going on where and where to find information, or what information is happening, or what the goals are for certain parliaments, when you choose all the different groups that you can choose on, like DA or ANC, or what do you call
parties?
That? Parties, yes. I don't know what each party's agenda is, or those agendas compared to each other, and it's not in a way that I can easily learn it, and it's more for the older generation to understand how these things usually roll out. It's very important to inform the youth from a very young point about what is promised and what is actually delivered, and how that influences your decision when your time comes to have a weight in that decision. You know, to be able to actually cast a vote and cast the right vote. And in a lot of ways, this Biden decision is more in his own personal benefit, meaning, you know, everything that this Biden group will be posting will be to push the president's agenda and get him voted in. I think it's still very important that the younger people are addressed on their platforms, in the places that they like to use and they are familiar with information formatted in that type of content, so they can get the information they need in order to make a decisive decision. So I think it's really cool that to see something like that happening. It's also a little bit concerning because if only one party does it, they stand to gain the most out of it. So it has to be a thing where everybody's doing it. Everybody has their own way of doing it. It creates competition. It creates comparative analytics. It's something that I think would evolve further down the line if we see someone like, you know, in countries like South Africa, or even, you know, like Venezuela or Vietnam, join in on these kind of trends. And you can learn more about, you know, the actual youth who carries the country into the future can have a very good understanding of the political agenda and things like that from a very young age. It helps you build that understanding and that fluidity in making a decision. So I thought that was very cool. And Uber is now adding plane, train, and bus services to the Travel Super app.
So does it mean I can summon a plane to my house?
Summon a plane. Your Uber will be here in 5 minutes. God, plane lands. Listen,
Did you see that meme where, well, it's actually a screenshot of a conversation, and then the person says on the one side, "I'm here for you." And then the other person replies, "Thank you so much. I've been going through a really bad time. Thank you so much for your support." And then the other one replies again and says, "No, I'm your Uber driver. I'm here to pick you up."
That's a good one.
"I'm here for you."
That's a good one. So Uber Technologies in customers will soon be able to book long distance travel on planes, trains, and buses, reflecting the company's ambitions to become a super app and also phase out things like Bolt and things like that. A pilot project being launched in the UK will integrate offers from travel partners into Uber's app to create a seamless door-to-door travel experience. Jamie Haywood, Uber's regional general manager for UK, Northern and Eastern Europe, said in a statement, "You have been able to book rides, bikes, boat services, and scooters on the Uber app for a number of years. So adding trains and coaches is a natural progression," he said. "Eventually, Uber will also offer hotel bookings." Uber, however, won't provide the travel service itself. And this is where Uber's clever, because recreating business models is way more difficult than what they're doing. So Uber won't provide the travel service itself, but will team up with third-party booking agencies to facilitate the sale of tickets. So while Uber didn't disclose which ticketing platforms it will partner with, it could wind up working with major aggregators such as Booking.com, Expedia Inc., where Yeah, so the company will make money by collecting a service fee from the bookings, but ultimately the fundamental change for the user is the experience, the ability to use one app for all your travel requirements.
Mm.
And that's also talking about that social media example.
Yeah, yeah.
The future is amalgamating multiple options into one solution.
You know what came to mind when you mentioned that earlier is, I don't know if you used it before, and I don't know if it's still going, but it was called Hootsuite.
Oh, Hootsuite, social media platform manager.
Remember?
I know.
That was like all in one.
Yes.
But it was not a feed, was it?
It was just management. So
yeah, but that was so convenient. Do you remember that? If we can have something like
that. It's still
there. Okay.
It still exists at about 2,400 rand a month, I think.
I was going to wonder. Oh, yeah. Because it was free when I used it years ago. But if you can have something like that, similar to that, with all your social feeds.
Exactly. That's for the viewer, not the creator. Because YouTube is for the creator.
Yeah.
You can create content for 5 social media platforms in one place.
But for the viewer.
For the viewer, you must be able to see 5 social media platforms content in one place.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start building it.
Yeah. And we must just say that if somebody wants to copy the idea, Kane, on this day... It's his idea. He spoke about it on the 7th of April, 2022. Planet Earth.
We could collaborate.
Yes, okay, yeah, probably good to collaborate, eh?
Have you heard of Zuckbucks? The last story of the day, are you ready? Zuckbucks.
You know what? I haven't, but if I have to take a guess, it sounds like Mark Zuckerberg wants to bring out his own currency.
Digital currency.
Is it correct?
So it's a little bit different. So Meta's reportedly making Zuckbucks. So we remember their first try at digital currency. They got absolutely destroyed. Lyra or something like that.
I don't even know about it.
A digital currency, which likely isn't a cryptocurrency, and that's the important thing to remember here about Zuckbucks. So Meta may have given up on its deemed cryptocurrency, but the company is still exploring financial products, according to a new Financial Times report. The parent company of Facebook and Instagram reportedly has a few irons in the fire, including virtual currency employees have apparently taken to calling Zuckbucks. Zuckbucks, seemingly named for Meta's founder, chairman, and CEO Mark Zuckerberg, are unlikely to be a cryptocurrency. Instead, Meta is leaning towards introducing in-app tokens that would be centrally controlled by the company, similar to those used in gaming apps such as the Roblox currency and popular children's game Roblox. According to the FT, Roblox has built a huge business selling Robux, and Meta could try to emulate some of that success on its own platform. And that's all you really need to know. Anything that comes out of Facebook just seemingly is mirrored from something else, somewhere else that works. It's not original, you know.
But can they please just stop changing the layout? If you're a business owner and you're using the page manager, have you seen all the changes? Every week they're moving something elsewhere. I'm serious, Kane, eh?
Can't use it.
You don't know where to find something. They always have this pop-up saying, okay, no, this is moving here and this is moving here. But it's not like they're doing it for the better.
No.
They're just confusing us.
No.
I don't even know how to do certain things now. I feel like an old, really old person because I can't find something because they moved it again.
But
it's like going to the shops and they keep on changing the shelves.
I went to Spa once and they completely readjusted where everything is.
Yeah.
And I was lost.
And they say if that annoys you, then you're an adult. It's true.
It's true. But also Facebook has always had the most trashiest user interface. I've never liked the way you manage your own page on Facebook.
Yeah,
I don't like the way you manage your own ads on Facebook. I think ads accounts that are under business accounts that are under...
Yeah.
And it's just very complicated.
It's just... It's saturated.
No.
That's the word. And also oversaturated. And also they must stop with this algorithm thing where people don't see your stuff because that's very demotivating.
Yeah. For businesses especially.
You need to... They're forcing you to spend money to get your own followers who are interested in your product and who have liked and followed your page to see your stuff.
Yeah.
They're forcing you to pay to let those people see it. Those people have a right to see it.
Yeah, because they liked
and followed it. But no, now you got to pay to reach all of them because now at the moment you're just reaching 0.5% of them.
Yeah, Facebook's in trouble with their models. I'll
so yeah, I'm not on board with that. Eh?
No.
Anyway, rant's over. I did a lot of ranting today, but I feel so much better.
We must start a trend. Get Eon his organic views back on Facebook. Hashtag Facebook must fall.
Yeah. Down with it. Down with Facebook. Yes, so Zuck, and also Zuck's kid has been coding again, so I wonder if that's not the reason for all the glitches.
Oh, no, he's just letting him have fun with it.
Yes. It's incredible that you can get your kid that's like your baby to code. That's wonderful. I can't code at 32. But please, just know what you're doing and keep an eye on it. Jeez. Okay.
Is that it for today?
It's all off my chest now.
That's what Tech Plus is for.
Yes. We're going to just rant and rave here, man. Kane, thank you so much, man. That was a lovely show once again.
Absolutely. Another great week in tech. Another great Tech Plus. Looking forward to next week. Obviously, special shout out to all of our listeners listening in. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. It's been a great show today.
And maybe if the show is really big one day, like massive, and we're known globally, then I can pull one of your hair out and then we can NFT it.
Maybe not maybe. Maybe when.
Yeah.
When Tech Plus
then
is
we'll,
famous.
We'll pull each other's hairs out.
And make an NFT of it. Yeah. But take a photo of this strand of hair. Eon's hair strand. NFT selling for $1 million. Can't figure out why it hasn't sold yet.
It's been good. It's just Tech Plus is also a lot of therapy because we laugh so much.
Oh yeah, that's
and if we annoy people, I'm very sorry, but we're not going to stop laughing because I think laughing is a way of coping, especially in these difficult times.
Absolutely,
you actually get laughter therapy. Have you seen that before?
What? For me, that's like watching a Kevin Hart comedy show or something like that.
No, like literally, you go to this class and they force you to laugh. And then everybody's laughing, and then you also start laughing.
That sounds like quite fun.
It teaches you to, when you're feeling extreme negative emotions, it teaches you to laugh and then kind of laugh it off.
But it's more
complicated than that. But let me tell you, everybody who's in those class, they look completely mental.
Well, can you just imagine something absolutely traumatic happens to someone, and they're just there, like, chuckling it off, like, full on, like, crying with laughter, and you're like, this is probably not well.
Yeah, exactly. But it helps. It's a coping mechanism.
It does help.
I want to join those classes, actually. Because I'm laughing at everything nowadays. Nothing surprises me. I said to somebody the other day, every day is like a lucky packet. You never know if you're going to get a sweet or a bomb.
Best you can do is laugh through it.
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's been absolutely
it's
great.
It's been great.
Being, yeah.
And we went over time today, hey? But it's because it was so much fun. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Until next week, Kane. Enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend.
You too, Ian. Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.